Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending. With real-time notifications, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Yeah, there should be some passion. This doesn't have to be boring. Boring.
You guys get bored by baseball.
Hey, one thing the game needs is more people like you. You.
Still have grown men run around tight pants.
Mookie Betts.
Daniel Bard.
Steve Aoki.
Jared Saltalamacchia.
This is Brock Holt.
Hey, this is John Lester.
Baseball.
Baseball isn't boring.
Welcome to Baseball Isn't Boring. Here's your host, Rob Radford.
I don't know if you know this, but Mike Hazen isn't fooling around. You could tell that when we sat down with him earlier this spring training. You could tell that in his actions in the offseason, going out and getting Eduardo Rodriguez, making a trade out of the gate for a third baseman. You could tell that in the tone of his voice. You could tell it. And now, if you needed more evidence, here you go. Here's Jordan Montgomery. Jordan Montgomery going to the Arizona Diamondbacks. Now, let me give you some of the particulars when it comes to this contract. There's no question, zero question, that this did not land where Jordan Montgomery and Scott Boras thought it would land. I mean, when you heard what they were asking earlier in the offseason, it was number one starter money in a robust market. I'm talking about, you know, let's say closer to $200 million than $150 million. Where it lands, it's a one-year deal that guarantees him $25 million. And then there's a $20 million vesting player option for 2025. But he also has the ability to opt out, and this is key, the ability to opt out if he makes 10 starts, at least, starts in at least 10 games in 2024. So what does that mean? It means that probably, my guess, you're talking about a one-year deal. What's interesting, and we tweeted this out, what's interesting is that if he signs before opening day, then he would be eligible for a qualifying offer because he would be spending the entire year with the Arizona Diamondbacks. My guess is that he won't sign before opening day. Whatever it takes, one day later, it doesn't make a difference. What it does make a difference is the fact that Jordan Montgomery is with the Arizona Diamondbacks, and you have to ask right now, ask yourself right now, are the Diamondbacks as good, if not better, than the powerhouses in the American League West? The powerhouses I'm talking about, obviously, you have the Dodgers. We know what they've done. The shock and awe offseason of all shock and awe offseasons. We've seen what the Giants done. They're not messing around. I mean, they just keep getting player after player after player, trying to match what the Dodgers are doing. Blake Snell, Matt Chapman, go down the list, Jorge Soler, all of that. You have the Padres who come in, and, you know, they're no slouches. They are, honestly, they are a talented team. So you have these four teams there sitting there in the American League West. And then we talk about, well, the Diamondbacks, obviously, the Braves, obviously, the Phillies, obviously. This National League is so top heavy, and we aren't even talking about the next tier who could do what the Diamondbacks did last year. Remember, the Diamondbacks, what, they won 84 games? 84 games in the regular season. And that's giving up hope to list your team. The Reds, the Pirates, the Nationals, whoever. I don't know. The we haven't even mentioned the Cubs. The Cubs are sort of, to me, not necessarily maybe the toppest, tippity top of the tiers, but right there, right there. And I think the Diamondbacks with this signing has gotten to that top tier. You have to ask yourself, I'll say it again. Are the Diamondbacks on par with these other teams? With the big three, the Phillies, the Dodgers, the Braves. Whew, man, I got to do a power rankings with producer Evan. I am in a state of flux. I am befuddled, but I do know this. I love it. I love it. I love what Hazen's doing. He's going for it. And there was no doubt about it. There was no doubt about it when we talked to him. There was no doubt about it with his actions. The Eduardo Rodriguez acquisition, that should have been the sign right there. Now, when I say the Diamondbacks potentially could match up with these other teams, out of the gate it's going to be difficult because Eduardo Rodriguez has the lat thing. And he's not going to be pitching to begin the season. He's going to be on the injured list. All right, that's number one. Number two is Paul Sewald. The closer has an oblique thing. And this is, like they said, weeks, not days. So they got to figure out the bullpen. But if they can get everybody back, let's play this out. You get through the month, first month, second month, you're in it, you're the Diamondbacks. Now you get that rotation. The rotation has to be, I think, from top to bottom. If you say Brandon Pfaadt is the guy, and Brandon Pfaadt, by the way, check him out in the Baseballs and Boring podcast earlier this week. But if he's the guy that we saw in the postseason and he's the guy that takes the next step, which he absolutely could, then you have a starting rotation of Zach Gallen, Merrill Kelly, Eduardo Rodriguez, Jordan Montgomery, and yes, Brandon Pfaadt. That, if nothing else, they're going to give you maybe more innings than any other starting rotation. Again, if healthy, if right, if rolling. Zach Gallen last year, 210 innings. Merrill Kelly, 177 two-thirds innings. Brandon Pfaadt, you know, he only made 18 starts. So I would imagine he's going to take a step up. Jordan Montgomery, we know, we understand, he's the guy who's going to give you innings. Eduardo Rodriguez, he pitched over 200 innings back in 2019, so he can do it. Not to say he's going to do it now, but what I'm saying is that you have guys who can pitch 6 and 7 innings. And in this day and age of baseball, to have that many guys in the rotation who can do that, that's something. And Jordan Montgomery fits that narrative to a T. He's the guy that teams like the Red Sox, like the Yankees, like whoever it else said, this is what we know he is. He fits our team and he can help. Now, I don't think the Red Sox prioritize it. The Red Sox said, it's not worth this to us right this year. It's not worth this, worth it. We're going to ride with what we have. It's not worth paying the money, the big money for the 1 year, potentially the 2 years. It's just not worth it. The Yankees, maybe they didn't want to go over the luxury tax. It wasn't worth it to them. I don't know. I mean, Jordan Montgomery is a really, really good pitcher. There's no question about it. But we also have to understand, you know, he's between a 2 and a 3. A 2 and a 3. That's what he is. He had a great postseason run. He's a guy that you don't obviously do not fear at all putting in big games. But we have to be realistic about what he is. But that doesn't matter for the Diamondbacks. He is absolutely worth this investment. When you look at how they're positioned, what they're doing, the whole ball of wax, it is a great, great move by Mike Hazen. I don't see any other way to explain it. Now, how long will it take him to get ready? We'll see. With the Diamondbacks, just wait. You just have to weather the storm a little bit here. The Rodriguez, get Montgomery back, get Seawall back down the road, get to the trade deadline in position, and remember what Mike Hazen did and said. He said last year, and you can go back, and we're going to play the entire Mike Hazen interview for you coming up. But he said, and you can hear it, that the trade deadline, he vowed that if they were in it at all, that he was going to do something for this team at the trade deadline. He was going to do everything he could, and he was still beating himself up over not getting another starter at the trade deadline for that run through October. He's beating himself up. They had to have a bullpen game in the World Series. He said this. He's like, that was inexcusable. I shouldn't have put my team in that position. I'm beating myself up over it. Well, this is the ultimate course correction, isn't it? It's the ultimate course correction. It's great. It's awesome. This is what you want. Hey, we won 84 games. We didn't have quite enough. We were a little short in that we were in position, but we were a little short when it came to manpower. I didn't get enough of the manpower to put us over the hump. I'm not going to be caught in that position again. Boom. Here you go. Here it is. And by doing that, you're in the conversation with the Dodgers. You're in the conversation with the Phillies. You're in the conversation with the Braves. You're in the conversation with, let's say, the Giants, the Cubs. Oh, man, power rank is going to be tough. I'm just thinking through it. All right. Well, like I said, congratulations, Mike Hazen. I want to give you a taste. We did this sit down. When did we do it? We did it early March. Early March we did this sit down. And you can feel it's a great, great example, microcosm of what Mike Hazen's mindset is, was, and continues to be. It's definitely worth a listen. All right. You listened to my analysis of the whole Jordan Montgomery thing. Now, here's the chaser, Mike Hazen. Here you go. Just two guys talking. All right. Mike Hazen. Thank you for going back on your promise.
What was my promise?
Oh, you don't even remember. It was all a blur to you, the World Series. You don't remember?
I don't remember.
Forget
much
it. Then you don't have to worry about it.
What was
it.
My promise?
Your promise was that if you won the World Series, you would literally come on the podcast any second of any day. I could call you at 3 o'clock in the morning, and you would come on.
And now?
And if you lost, you would never come on.
Oh.
Ever again.
You're lucky I forgot about it.
Well, you kind of went, you were at the GM meetings, I think.
I kind of blacked out, you know.
You did black out.
I did, for the month, yeah. That's what happens. That's what happens. Stress gets to a certain level.
I don't think I've ever had a more panic text than when you forgot the sticker in your suit coat pocket.
Yes.
So in case people don't know, I gave you a sticker before game two, Baseball's and Boring sticker.
Game two of the NLCS.
No.
No?
Game two of the World Series.
Oh,
you won. You won. You put it in your jacket pocket and you won.
Yeah, but this started in the NLCS. That's where this all started.
The other story.
That's when you first gave me the sticker, isn't it?
No.
You never gave me a sticker?
I gave you some things that happened. Hmm. Yeah. So, anyway, I gave you a sticker before game two of the World Series. I gave Torrey a sticker. He put it in his hat. Remember, this is how it happened. He put it in his hat. You put it in your jacket pocket. You won the game. I see you after the game, and Torrey starts trying to give it back out of his hat, and you jumped and accosted him. Said, "Don't you dare! We're keeping these stickers from here on in."
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Do you think people find this interesting?
Yeah,
you do.
Yeah.
The stupid stuff that we do and like conjure up in our
mind. It humanizes you.
It does?
Yeah.
Really?
It doesn't
make me clinically insane. Because I feel like it sounds like it's clinically insane.
We already gone through your superstition. You don't remember talking about
it. I remember all that, yes. Yeah.
But it's a good story. It's what baseball's about. Good stories. And also, Mike,
I appreciate you having me on video too after you told me that I had a face for radio.
I didn't tell you that.
You hinted at that.
I never said that.
Kinda.
You literally kept saying that. You don't. No, I told you. I said you were in the top 15.
You're perfectly average. We should get to baseball talk at some point. What do you want to know about the Arizona Diamondbacks?
Oh,
this podcast doesn't come with special guests. It doesn't come with special guests. Podcast
days. I've never been here ever in my life.
There we go. Oh man.
Isn't it Amy Alsadeh, who also has a sticker?
It's actually on my kid's water bottle.
Is it?
Yeah, my son's water bottle.
Yeah.
There's a time limit on this podcast.
I can't help.
Yeah, the clock is ticking.
All right. So, anyway, again, we're humanizing you and getting it. I appreciate it because before we get to the meat and potatoes, which I don't even know what it is, but again, the meat and potatoes.
That's great. You're a great podcaster.
No,
you don't know what the meat and potatoes are.
I certainly know what the meat and potatoes are. But I think that one of the problems is that GMs or president of baseball operations, they are so robotic now, and you aren't your top 50 non-robotic GMs.
Your compliments are like overwhelming. You must be like just a fantastic date. You know what I mean? You are very average looking as a human being.
You're top 15 in looks, top 5 in non-robotic.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Who are the other 4? I know you're not going to answer that.
No,
you can't because you won't have any guests on your podcast. Yes,
yeah, so no, I don't want to.
People ask me that question. It's the same thing.
But you know what I'm saying, right?
I appreciate that. Yes, it's all a it's a front. It's a front to shield like the performance of me and my job. So I appreciate that.
No, but I mean, you know what? The other GMs is like, especially since you first came up.
We're supposed to be professionals in our job, right? So robotic may mean like proficient and excelling at making decisions and running an organization. But I get what you want. Yes.
Am I professional in my job?
You want this to be like Hard Knocks for a podcast.
No. Am I professional in my job?
Can I answer that honestly?
Yeah.
It's borderline.
Okay. How so?
I mean, I don't know.
Because I hand out stickers.
Yeah, like, and you think, again, like, I think it's neurotic that I think a sticker may lead us to a win, and you believe the same thing. You've told me that.
Yeah.
You've said a lot of things to me. You've predicted some things that we're not going to get into specifics of, because we'll keep that and we'll go to our graves with it. But, like, you have predicted things. I will give you that. You're like the Nostradamus of podcasters.
We're going to cut that clip. my baseball instincts are good. That's what that is. So, but my
are you in the top 15 of baseball instincts?
Yeah, there's no question.
All right.
Yeah, there's no. But my point is that we can. This is how we're going to end this, but not the podcast. But this is going to end this part of it. Is that my point? Is you can be a human being. You can talk like a human being, and still be professional. And come off as professional. Again, you didn't answer, or you kind of answered a question. You didn't give me the answer I wanted. I feel like I'm professional. I'm respectful. But I'm also, I talk to you as a human being, right? Correct?
Correct.
Okay. You're talking to me as a human being. That's all I ask.
I appreciate you making this podcast about you. I do.
That's usually what I do. Xander, how awesome was I?
It's great. It's riveting. Riveting stuff.
So I went in your Diamondbacks clubhouse, and I love when Torrey gave me the workshop speech heading in the last year of firing them up. We let them buy their teams and everything else. And then I talked to him in June, and he says, you know, like, how do you get players to believe? Because by then you had won. Now you've reached a pretty significant level here. Does it feel different when you walk down there, when you talk to guys, the feel in here? And I know that the word that comes out is standard. We've set the standard. But it's always a feeling. It's much like when you came up in different teams, the Red Sox, whatever it was. There was, when you walked in, you had a feel for what things were. That was a very long-winded say, does it feel any different?
So we've had a long conversation about some of this stuff just this morning. I feel like there's a confidence that's different that comes with having success in the playoffs, both as a team and for the individuals, especially the younger kids that did it in that environment. Because I think there's always a, can I do it? Can they do it when we get to that moment in time? Like, playing in the big leagues is impossible enough as it is. Playing in the big leagues at that stage against those players, against facing the best of the best, constantly getting matched up, never getting the platoon advantage, always having to face that, and then coming out on top in some of those cases, and obviously not the whole way through. I think there's a confidence that comes with that and should come with that. it doesn't feel much different otherwise because we didn't win. And I think people are well aware of that, that we had some success in the playoffs. We were an 84-win regular season team. I think there's still so much to what we did last year that wasn't what we wanted to have happen. We have so much to work on, and I think that focus still remains. So that part doesn't feel any different. Like, that seems like it's still right in front of us. And I think it's going to be our biggest challenge to come back from where we were and not focus on the fact that we were 3-1 short of the World Series, but more focus on the fact that we were the last team in the playoffs. Because I think that's the more realistic thing that we need to build upon, not the other way around.
But at the same time, you had probably one of your more aggressive off seasons, right? Would that be fair to say?
I think that's fair.
And so do you feel it's much like the trade deadline? And I want to get to that a little bit, but it's much like the trade deadline in sense of those players who went through that last year see the aggressiveness. In other words, we've seen plenty of teams that have success and like, oh, we're good. Or we might even cut payroll, but we're good. But you sort of, okay, we did this, let's take the step forward. When you go into that approach, like, how does that feel? Like, does it feel like that the team recognizes, yeah, you know what? We are, I don't want to say keep up with big boys because you would have to spend $700 million to do that, but we are moving ahead. That's what we did this offseason.
I hope so. I don't know. You have to ask the players sort of what the reaction to that. I don't really look at doing the things that we do in the offseason. I get their input. I talk to them all the time. I don't necessarily feel like we should make decisions based on exactly what the clubhouse feels like we should do at all times, because it's a, you know, it's not really the perspective there, I don't think, in terms of, but from my sense is like, we didn't have a choice. I mean, we were an 84-win team. Like, we have to improve upon that team.
Keep coming back to the 84. Yeah.
I'm going to fixate it on all season. Yeah. We got into the playoffs in the last 2 days of the season. Like, that's not a position I want to be in again. Mm-hmm. If we do that again this year, we won't get in the playoffs. Like, it's just not going to work out that way, that, you know, there were three teams still vying for those spots, and you're going to end up on the losing end of that if you keep putting yourself in that situation. I don't really want to be there in the last week of the season this year. Like, I want to put us in a position, or try to put us in a position. Obviously, you cede control of what happens after you put the team together. Put us in a position where we're not in that. We're building towards the playoffs come into September, as opposed to wondering if we're gonna get into the playoffs. And I feel like if you look at it, like, we came three games short, and great, we were the second team left, one of the two teams left in the entire game. Yeah, it's very easy to just say, like, oh, we'll just put it back together, roll it out, and we'll do it again. That's not what's going to happen. That's not how this game works.
Did you feel that right away?
I never even doubted for a second that we were going to have to build upon that 84-win team, wherever that landed us in October. We spent the whole month of October worried about enjoying 2023 as it was happening, but worried about 2024 and what we were going to do. And I felt like we had so many holes that we had to go out there and fill that, in order for us to get back to even the level that we were going to be at, we had to go out there and bring these guys in. And beyond that, having been in Boston with years like 13 to 14, like, you can't just rev it back up and roll it back out and you're going to get the same results. It's just not the way the game works. The other teams are improving. The other teams are working and feeling like, hey, we lost. What do we need to do to get better? You can't. You fall into that malaise, especially where we are as a team in the win projection area and the payroll projection, like, that's not going to serve us very well. So we felt like we had to be aggressive. We felt like the team deserved us to be aggressive. We felt like our players are good. Our team is good. Our manager is really good. Like, we have a lot of things going for us. We wanted to build upon that. It's very important. We've been to the bottom. I don't ever want to go there again. Like, it, and we didn't try. Like, we tried to win and we got to the bottom, and I don't ever want to be there again. And so it was very important for us to do what we did.
At the same time, you know, the easy thing is when you have such a shock and awe team in the Dodgers in your same division, it's, you know, that can be a daunting thing. But even with the team, the narrative, I would imagine, for a lot of Diamondbacks fans and Diamondbacks people around the team, like, hey, you know what? That's fine. It may be not that extreme last year, but we did it last year. We can do this, and we're better this year. We're better. So I don't know. Again, what I'm asking is sort of the Dodger shadow. And I know the easy answer is we just worry about ourselves, but you're in the same division. And my point is, in baseball, I think more than ever before, Mike, that there is that, just get us there. Just get us there and we can do this.
Yeah, I mean, we certainly feel that get us there and we can do it. I'm not, I think the get us there is not, it's not simple. It's not that simple, right? Yeah. There's only so many teams that are getting in, and there's a lot of really good teams. And there were some good teams last year that did not get in that were right next to us that ball bounces a couple days. Like, you got to be careful in this game. Like, that happens to you and you're out. And I don't want to be in that situation. So, like, just getting us there to me, fine. Like, if that's the attitude that we're going to take, that we can't beat the Dodgers, because I don't believe that we can't beat the Dodgers. Obviously, they're an extremely good team. They are one of the best teams in all of baseball, if not the best team in all of baseball. We understand that. We understand what they did this offseason. We respect what they did. We respect what they always do. It's really not that much different than what they always do for us. So it's not, didn't really shake us, because they do this every year. They've won 100 games. They feel like they win 100 games every year. This isn't new for us. But getting there and we can do it, like, to me, that's not just snapping our fingers and do it. We're not good enough to just say that. And that's what drives me and motivates us, I think, in this camp to improve upon what we did last year in the regular season.
Did the offseason shake out like you thought? I know that's a sort of broad question. I know it's never 100%, but, you know, you go in with a plan. And did it feel like it shook out like you had?
I felt like we answered a lot of the questions we needed to answer. I feel like there's still areas for us to improve upon. So I don't know. I felt like we were fairly active. I felt like we were fairly aggressive in both the trade and free agent market. And I felt like we shored up some of the holes that I was concerned about going into the offseason. But I don't think we're going to be a perfect team going into the season by any stretch of the imagination. We have a lot of work to do.
But so with Eduardo Rodriguez, a perfect example of now, I say you sign him early. Well, now it seems like the early, obscenely early, considering like a lot of these starting pitchers. When you go in, if you can take me sort of behind how that shook out, you say this guy is you knew him obviously before. This guy is a really good fit for what we need, so we want to prioritize him. We know there's other starting pitchers on the market, but we want to prioritize him. And you seems like you did, and you got him, which is holy mackerel. Some teams would kill for that. So is that how that went?
We felt like especially the third base market and the starting pitching market, that those were our two biggest priorities coming into the offseason. And we really needed to focus on that as best we could. We got aggressive in the trade market right away. And we were able to pull the Eugenio right away, and that answered some questions for us right out of the bat, which was awesome for us and what we were trying to do. And then we were able to focus on the starting pitching market, and we were fortunate to be able to sign Eduardo. He's a very good pitcher. He's going to be a very stabilizing impact, have a stabilizing impact on our rotation. It builds us out, strengthens and lengthens out our rotation from where we got short last year. I think it's probably the biggest reason it cost us the World Series in the end. And that's on me.
You beat yourself. I've heard you say this.
Because it's a fact. It's a fact. When you're running bullpen games in game four of a World Series and LCS, like, that's not great. Not great.
But stuff happens.
Okay. Our job is to be in front of stuff happening. Right. I mean, that's our job. That's literally what we're here to do.
All right.
If otherwise, like, I mean, whatever. Like, I'll just leave now and go on vacation.
That's true.
Can I just shut it down? I'll take it to the house.
You get another get after the next 5 minutes.
I'll see you in November and let me know how it shakes out.
I will say this is when I do, one of the things I do remember doing is an interview with you before game one of the Philly series. And you were talking about the deadline, and you're just like, that was on me. Like, I tried, I failed. This is, you know, obviously before the World Series. I tried to get another starter. I didn't do it. But one of the things that when the trade deadline comes up, and I give you credit, I'm going to build you up right now. Congratulations. After saying you're only top 15.
Thank you.
But
I yearn for this, by the way. So
well, it's a good way to start the day.
Okay.
I want more decision makers to say what you said, which is my goal heading into the year was if we were there to make sure that we did something at the deadline, like that we were going to be a buyer at the deadline, whether, you know, or at least try. That was my, I remember you saying that I vowed that would be a thing.
And that's not always an easy thing to do, right? It's like, oh, well, maybe we're in it, maybe we're not. But am I wrong?
There's a real psychological impact on the deadline, in my opinion, in the clubhouse.
Yeah.
There's a real psychological impact.
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to say that you're in it, and then I don't do anything, it's hard. And now look, like, I will stand up there if there's something that is, it, everything that's available to you is ridiculous from a long-term perspective that you're, I mean, I've always said this, there's a difference between being aggressive and being reckless. Mm-hmm. As soon as I start acting reckless, like, long-term organization, and that long-term, everyone's like, oh, what are you worried about 5-10 years from now? Like, mm-hmm. you and I probably won't even be here, right? Probably 6 feet under. Me and you? No? Just me?
No.
Okay.
No.
So I'm
in the best. We're both in the best shape of our lives.
We keep telling ourselves that. I think that it's not. That's not even what it is. Like, you could end up in that situation 6 months away, and like, look, from being responsible for the organization, you still have to be mindful of that. Mm-hmm. So I think being reckless is not the way I think doing this job should be viewed.
No.
It gets you more clicks, like, it's better, right?
Yeah.
But being aggressive to me is important. That, you know, we all love prospects, right? Everybody loves their prospects. We value our prospects higher than any other team does. Like,
yeah.
Everyone falls into that same mindset. There's a time and a place where that your major league team needs you to bring stuff into the clubhouse because they need help going through that 162 game grind. Mm. And we felt at that time. And look, when you lose for 6 straight years, it makes it much easier to reconcile in your mind that this is why you do this job, is to go buy at the deadline. Mm. It's why you do your job.
Yeah.
Like, there's no other reason to be here. Honestly. Like, everything's important in what we do, but there's no other reason to be here than to go buy at the deadline. Because that's when you know you're pushing towards something that could be great. And we felt very strongly that no matter what was happening on a night-in, night-out basis, that this team had played so well for the first 3 months, and we were terrible in the end of June and July, but that this team was in the hunt here or there. I think we'd fallen out of the wild card spot at that time, but we felt like this team deserved for us to go out and be aggressive. And getting Paul, probably more than any other transaction, I've talked about Tommy, I've talked about Jace, other guys that we brought back at the deadline, but getting Paul for the bullpen, for where our bullpen was at, was probably the single biggest thing that impacted our team moving forward.
Yeah. And by the way, I sat next to him at dinner last night.
Really?
Yeah, he looks like he's in the best shape of his life.
Everybody's in the best shape of their life, besides you and I.
Well, but last year was, and I think we've talked about it, I've certainly talked about it with others, like, last year was a reckless deadline. Like, that was if you want to get reckless, jump on in. Like, right? Especially when it came to starting pitchers, right? So you can beat yourself up over it, but I'm just telling you. Like, whether you did something or you didn't something, I just like the fact that you said that was a goal of mine. So
yeah, it continues to be a goal.
Yeah.
And the way the playoffs are structured, the way the world is relatively flat, I said this last year, I think the competitive landscape in baseball has not been like this in a long time. Mm. I think it's better than it's been in a long time.
No.
It's great for the game. I think the reason why the game is moving in the direction it's moving, And so you're going to see more of that. You're going to see more teams in it at the deadline, which should spur more activity, which is going to push the prices on buyers.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, it's the flip side of that.
Okay, but that's all right. You know what I mean?
Cost of doing business.
The cost of doing business. And sometimes you got to pony up and do the cost of doing business, even though, you know, look, sometimes you don't feel good about some of the stuff you're doing. And you never really know how it's going to play. I mean, we lost 9 games in a row, I think, in and around the deadline, plus, you know, after That's not a great feeling.
Yeah, but as you said, the fact of the matter is that you don't get to where you go without making that deal.
You don't get. We wouldn't have gotten where we go without the bullpen as it's set up after Paul got into the closer role and pushed everybody down one spot, and everybody took off underneath him. And then obviously he's who he is, which we're incredibly fortunate to have him. Mm. I think that set that team up. And you saw what we did in the playoffs. Like, short the starting pitcher, we won the game in the CS, in game 4 of the CS. Like, you know, cost us in the World Series, but without them in the bullpen, then how we even won that game, I don't really know.
Who's your pick to click? Give me on this team. Like, we can walk in there. I mean, we can say it now. It's always good.
I hate to say this.
Oh, you don't? You don't want to single out anybody.
I don't like to single out anybody.
Who looks good? It's complimenting a player.
It is compliment, but it's complimenting one player to the
puts
exclusion.
A lot of pressure on him.
A little bit. Right. But it is what it is. We got to deal with that, right? I think Alec Thomas is going
to
have a really good
year.
I talked
to him today. Yeah. He has a sticker.
You told me you weren't going to tell me who you gave stickers to.
I know, but now that you said it, I feel like I handed him to the right person.
And now that we've both talked about it,
no, he'll
yeah,
be good.
We ruined the magic. We ruined the magic. How did you just lure me into doing that? I think Alec is. I think Alec is one of those players who's extremely talented, who works extremely hard. He's an elite defender. He is coming into as an offensive player. That the area of at bats where these young kids, especially the high school kids, like start to really figure out what the other side is doing to them, and they start to answer back. And that's what I think.
My instincts are keen, you know that.
Right? I'm on the record.
You should feel good about Alec Thomas. Last thing, how was Torrey's speech compared to last year?
Which speech?
But, you know, you get everybody together.
He wasn't standing in front of everybody with a bottle of champagne screaming.
It wasn't.
You didn't put the stool in the middle of the room.
He
didn't do that. No.
No.
His speech was the exact same as last year.
It was. Mm-hmm. Did he say let them buy their teams?
Nope.
Oh, he said all of them. All right.
Wait. When did he tell you that? Last year.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, he didn't say that.
Okay.
He is fixated on us being a good baseball team. And in this spring training, putting all the work in that needs to happen for us to be the best baseball team we can be, and I respect that tremendously.
That's a good approach.
Because again, like I think the thing that taught it should teach us more than anything else last year is like it's not coming up three wins short of the title, it's coming one win ahead of getting in. And we need to create more space this year going in and not putting ourselves in that position long term. And that in order to do that, we need to play better for 162. Did you just show my shoes? And
No. It's just, I'm just checking
what?
My levels.
Oh, your levels are fine.
Yeah. No, it's good. I like that. You got me fired up. I'm glad I came here today. Yeah.
It's that easy?
Kind of is.
What's like your base level?
You know whose house I'm staying at?
Nope. Dustin Pedroia's.
No.
Oh.
I would be shot out of a cannon. No. Like a co-op.
You don't have the energy for Dustin Pedroia's house.
Oh, I had a conversation.
They would dominate you.
They would bulldoze you right over.
Every one of them. That household wakes up at DEFCON 10. We know that, right? DEFCON 10.
He's talking, and then I hear the kids, and they wait. What? I'm good at everything. And then it just keeps going. Yeah, anyway. So, yeah, no, I'm staying at a rival's house.
Oh.
Joe Kelly.
Oh, yeah. He's your co-author.
Yeah.
So that's awesome. Good for you. Congratulations.
Thanks, Frank.
Was that, like, dropping, like, humble bragging?
Yeah, kind of.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to cut that part out, too. All right. Thank you.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.